Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. What's going on? This is Chris, IMTN Worldwide Radio, and this is Around the ATL. It is May, and May the 4th be with you, 646-652-4479. Unfortunately, I couldn't put no Star Wars music of any kind because I would get sued, so I didn't want to try that. So tonight, we have a great show tonight. We're going to do 2 hours of Atlanta Falcons football talk. Now, last week, of course, last Wednesday, a week ago, we had our draft preview show. So tonight we're going to go through what actually happened. So that's going to be pretty fun. Before I get started, of course, I want to welcome all that are watching live on the YouTube channel for IMTN Worldwide Radio. Appreciate that. And also those who are listening on Blog Talk Radio, of course. Make sure you listen to all of our past episodes on Spotify, iHeartRadio, and Amazon Music. Of course, shout out to our friends on Facebook who follow us and watch or listen to the shows over the years. It's 3.5 years now and going, especially New Pack City, Atlanta Hawks Nation, Atlanta Bird Gang, Dirty Bird Nation, Falcons Nation, Atlanta Braves fan page, as well as all the people on Twitter that follow us lately. As you notice, I got my custom Braves championship shirt on tonight. Try to give a little good mojo to the Atlanta Falcons. Maybe they'll win the Super Bowl this year. I don't know. But if you want anything custom like this shirt for the Braves, the Falcons, the Atlanta Hawks, Atlanta Dream, Atlanta United, UGA, whatever it might be, make sure you go to the Originative brand. Jamal Price is the owner of that company. Make sure you let him know Around the ATL sent you, and he'll get you hooked up. Also, make sure you don't forget, subscribe to the YouTube page, IMTN Worldwide Radio. You can also follow on the Instagram page for IMTN Worldwide Radio. And make sure you follow us on Twitter, IntellectATL and Jordan23ATL. That being said, let's go ahead and bring in our co-host, Mr. George Jackson, right now. Jordan, what's going on, man?
What's up, sir? Glad to be back on Around the ATL. As you said, a lot of Falcons draft talk to talk about. We got the breakdown for you guys on every single pick. And also some thoughts on maybe what, you know, I would have done differently. With that being said, sir, let's talk about it.
All right. So first, again, I do want to reiterate, we had a great show last week, but I didn't get any of my picks. I mean, it is what it is, you know, but, and I will say this, I wanted to say this at the very beginning. So I had my own reservations in regards to the very beginning of the draft, but as you went through the draft and you really looked at it, and I'll actually reverse. I said that this was going to be a big-time draft no matter what. This was going to be a draft that over the next 10 years was going to basically say what we're going to be as a franchise. It could either be really good or really, 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 really bad, right? And that was before we knew what was going to happen with Matt Ryan. So that kind of just threw everything around a little bit there, losing Foyer and some other players I won't mention right now. But when you really look at it on the surface, at least myself, I feel they did a great job. And then again, combined with the free agents, and we'll talk about that a little bit, that we did pick, the filling in of the gaps and the holes, they did a great job of really doing that and addressing actual needs. Now, it will still have to pan out how the coaching staff develops everybody and get them everywhere where they need to be, but I think we got a great start. I feel that we're going to win a couple of extra games. We won 2 games extra than we did the year before last year, and even without Matt being here, I still think we can improve upon that. And then at that point, you never know. I see Jordan with the gas face over there. That's all right, though. That's what sports is all about. So that's just my take immediately right off the bat. Jordan, before we get started, what's yours?
As far as the draft goes, I reiterate what I said on our previous show, and that was before we had all our picks, but I still feel the same way. I don't really have anything against any of our draft picks. Personally, I probably would have went about building the team in a different way, as opposed to just taking, you know, 2 top 8 picks and using them on pass catchers. But as far as the prospects themselves, I'm excited about all of them. And looking forward, you know, to seeing what they can actually do on the field at the NFL level come, you know, training camp time, preseason time, what have you. As far as winning more games than last year, I have my doubts on that one.
Come on, man.
I think this team is going to take a step back, because I think people are really, really underestimating or underselling what Matt Ryan meant to this team. And some of the things his talent covered up for on this team. And I think, unfortunately, we're going to get to see some of that this upcoming season.
I know. I'm just trying to be positive. Are you trying to say? Is this my? I'm just trying to be positive, man. 646-652-4479 is the number to call. Now, just to reiterate again from last week, free agency. So here are the free agents that we have picked up. Marcus Mariota, I'll just say it like it is, I guess. Anthony Fursker, tight end. Rashawn Evans, linebacker. Lorenzo Carter, edge rusher. We re-signed Patterson, of course, at running back / receiver / a whole bunch of other stuff. Casey Hayward from the Raiders, cornerback. Eric Harris, we signed him, and we also picked up Damian Williams. So those are some of the free agents to, you know, kind of fill the bill, so to speak. You know how many draft picks we had, so I'll go ahead and do mine. So at edge rusher, some of the names I had thrown out there that I was thinking maybe we would have a shot at getting, maybe possibly kind of, sort of, included Thibodeau from Oregon, Trayvon Walker, of course, from UGA, maybe Josh Pascal from Kentucky. On the tackle side, on the defensive side, Jordan Davis was the guy that I looked at to say, if we could get him, let's do it. Of course, that didn't happen, of course. We also didn't get Dean, also UGA. And on the cornerback side, if we decide to do that, which, of course, we didn't do, it would have been Sauce from Cincinnati, maybe Elam from Florida, Andrew Booth from Clemson, Tariq Woolen, that I thought might be in the third round somewhere in there, but we didn't get a cornerback. At running back, we didn't get James Cook, but we did get somebody else, and I do like that person, so we'll talk about him. At wide receiver, George Pickens was out there, you know, David Bell, Purdue, Mitchie from Alabama. I threw him in there just as a toss-up, you know, but we didn't get any of those. On the offensive line, Tyler Smith from Tulsa, Jamari Steller from UGA, and Mr. Omisini from Utah. Didn't get any of those guys, so... Yeah, I was kind of disappointed. I would have liked to have gotten close to one. Jordan, was there any of your possible predictions that we ended up getting? I can't remember all of yours off the top, but you can run yours down.
No, not particularly. Because the one spot I did not want us to go in the first round was wide receiver, and that's exactly where we went. And so that kind of threw off a lot of the other picks, you know, to where I thought we could get him now. The Kobe Dean one is one we'll get into as we go along with this show. We certainly could have had him, but we chose to go in another direction there, which, you know, we'll see how that works out. Going to be still something interesting to watch over these next few years. But as a whole, you know, we really didn't get a lot of the guys that I predicted on the show. But, you know, we did land some guys, and a lot of them have good potential. So
yeah.
I guess we'll break it down pick by pick as we go along.
That being said, we're going to get started, but actually we do have a caller, so let's go ahead and take a caller first, just see what they have to say, their opinion. Good evening, caller. Go ahead and tell us where you're calling from and your name, please.
Good evening, gentlemen. This is John from Union City.
John's out in Union City today. John, if you can, turn up your volume just a bit for us, sir.
All right. Can you hear me now?
There you go. Perfect. How you doing, man?
Okay. I just had to get a little bit closer to the microphone, as it were.
Appreciate it.
Jordan, how you doing, sir?
Doing well.
You call it just in time because we're just getting ready to break down these Atlanta Falcons draft picks. And I'm certainly glad that you called because, you know, you always have some very colorful commentary for us. And I'm certainly looking forward to your hearing your commentary about these draft picks and just about, you know, how they're deciding to build this football team overall.
Well, starting off, same misgivings that you had, Jordan, you know, the first pick. And there were people that said that the Falcons were going to select a wide receiver. Now, the groan in the room was not because of your house settling or the Georgia Dome imploding. It was shock, dismay. Oh, my goodness. Why on God's green earth did you do that? And, you know, I didn't see the advantage in getting a wide receiver first, but the thing is that I'm one of the people that, okay, I let these people do their jobs. Your scouting department, your head coach, your general manager, your owner, and everybody involved in it, I let you guys do your job. I stand back and I wait until the real fire takes place. And I take a look at what it was that you picked and how it's going to operate or how it is operating under live fire conditions, okay? Because, you know, I've been, you know, a Falcons fan since the team came here. Seen many drafts, seen many players come through, seen many players be successful, many players fall on their faces for various reasons. The player wasn't committed. The player was in the wrong system. He wasn't coached up. He wasn't nurtured. He wasn't brought along the way that he should be brought along. And because of all of those factors, all of the accolades that you bring from college, sometimes they help you, sometimes they don't. So I sit back and I just take a look because, you know, I hear all of the accolades and why this person did this and this person ran this fast, that person jumped that high, this person bent 225 pounds that many times, but I've got to see how they integrate and mesh in with the team, with the coaches, with the schedule. So that's where I am. That's where I am tonight.
Yeah. So first round, like you said, it was pretty shocking for me. I just looked at it. We just needed to go defense no matter what because of what we were a year ago and years prior to that. And pass rusher has been one of those most pressing needs because it's been pretty much a decade plus since we had anybody by themselves get 10 sacks or more and actually be, dangerous on the field. Like, you have to do something about this guy. We haven't had that in a long time. So that's why I figured we would go that route. So it wasn't nothing in regards to us getting a receiver, like you kind of said. This is going to be a matter of what do we do afterward? Because after that, you definitely have to address it and do it big time. Otherwise, yeah, kind of what are we doing? But we'll see. So round one, pick eight, was Drake London out of USC. Now, I'm about to experiment, guys. So give me a second here. Give me a little bit of leeway. We're going to try something here. I've not done it before. I didn't have time to test it. So we're going to see if this works real quick. Give me a second.
Thank you.
All right, so what I just showed for the people who are listening on Blog Talk Radio who couldn't see it visually, but the people on YouTube could, so that's why you should be watching the YouTube channel too, are some highlights of Drake London in USC, whether it was running a particular route, him going up for the ball, all of that kind of good stuff to where that's kind of important when it comes to being a wide receiver, and it's showing, you know, some of the reasons why he was picked where he was as compared to some of the other players at the end of the day. And when you look at it just from, again, the surface, it's going to be a matter of it does fit a need, you know, with the situation with Calvin, you know, Julio is not coming back. He's not coming back, folks. He's not coming back, okay? and then the other receivers that we did have on the roster, having someone there was going to be important. So that's one reason that Drake was picked. Now, again, whether or not he becomes the player that we need him to be, we're going to find out real quick. You know, rookie camp's right around the corner. And, you know, then you got summer and then you got the fall, and we're going to find out really quick. So, Jordan, I don't know if you're available right now, or John, what do y'all think just in terms of the football aspect in regards to Drake London?
Well, let me just go over some of the numbers real quick. And I think I mentioned these last show, but this is our draft recap show, so they're worth repeating again. 88 receptions in 8 games, so 11 receptions a game, 1,084 yards. That's an average of 12.3 yards per reception, 7 touchdowns on the season. Prior year before that, 33 grabs, 502 yards, and 3 touchdowns in 6 games. And in 8 games his freshman year, it was 39 grabs for 567 yards, 5 touchdowns. Just looking at a little bit of the strength, beastly size with long arms to go with tough to cover height, quality jumping ability, and strong legs. He will immediately be one of the biggest wide receivers in the NFL. His parents lined up everywhere, but especially on the wide left side of the formation. In 2021, after playing 92% of his snaps in the slot in 2020, used hesitations and jump cuts and stutter steps with an occasional body fake to help him sometimes buy a little space between his body and the defender off the snap. His hitch and comeback movements happen quickly, sometimes as soon as 4 steps, especially for a guy his size. That's thanks to his loose hips. Those routes were among his most run, and he was frequently open on them. Solid speed for his size, massively got into the blind spot of rival cornerbacks, and then quickly turned back to the passer for the target. This was probably his best route that was longer than 10 yards. So those are some of the strengths he had. I don't think he's a bad pick at all. It's going to be interesting to see. There's some of the different pro comparisons I've heard. Have been Mike Evans, I have been Marcus Colson, have been Alshon Jeffrey. If he can turn into one of those guys, it won't be a bad pick, certainly. My thing is, you know, once again, it's just about how you build a football team. And the fact of the matter is, you know, you have to think about this stuff down the line. And you know, when you draft Kyle Pitts at number 4 overall, you expect him to be an outstanding football player. When you draft Drake London at number 8 overall, you expect him to be an outstanding football player as well. So then you look into the matter of when they get their second contracts, here you go again having to pay 2 pass catchers big money on your salary cap. And I just don't know if that's the right way to build a team. Me personally, you know, as much as I know we do need defense, just looking at the board, how it shook out, my guy would have been Charles Cross out of Mississippi State, the offensive tackle, best pass blocker in the draft, played in the offense where he faced close to 700 pass blocking snaps and only gave up 2 sacks. That's why I would have went in the first round, and if I didn't go there, I would have went Jordan Davis, who went 13th. You plug him in the middle of your defense, and, you know, you are automatically going to be a top 10 run defense in the NFL. There's not going to be a whole bunch of running on you, which allows you to, you know, pretty much scheme for opponents trying to throw the ball. And gives you a lot more, your pass rush is a lot more pass rush snap. So that's what I would have done with the pick. But, you know, there again, I don't have anything personal against the pick. And I'm hoping that, you know, he turns out to be a great player.
Yeah. 646-652-4479. Just real brief, John, before I give it to you. Dan Brugler from The Athletic mentions how, you know, when the ball is going to him and everybody knows the ball is going to him, yet the defense can't stop it. That's kind of a big deal, you know. Turning 50-50 balls into 70-30 balls to his advantage. And remember, he also played basketball, so you mentioned the fluidity as far as his running routes and things of that nature, and his stutter steps and fakes. Guess where he's getting that from? That's from his basketball background. So he is athletic, you know, and when it gets down to it, that is an aspect that we will need on this team. But like you said, Jordan, down the line, when it comes to contracts and things of that nature, that is going to come up, you know, because you're going to have to – you'll have to pay him per his production and him being a number eight pick. You won't be able to really go around that. And if he ends up being really good, you're going to have to pay him. So how will that affect things 4 or 5 years down the road remains to be seen. But, hey, guess what? Terry's done a lot of stuff in regards to that cap already, so it might not be as much of an issue as we might foresee it in the near future. So, John, what do you think about the pick, Drake, Mr. Drake London, and your spiel on him?
I had heard some rumblings about hamstring issues with him. And our last, quote-unquote, number one receiver, those things loom large at the tail end of his career. We'll see as far as that's concerned later on down the line. And one thing that you gentlemen were talking about is, you know, finally paying people. And see, this is going to be something that every NFL team is going to face. You know, these draft picks that you draft today, if you're going to keep them, and it's going to be a kind of a gut-wrenching situation, because if you kept these people for 3 years and you groomed them, it's hard to just let them go, especially at that third year. Say, for instance, you're just about to get to a Super Bowl and that person is a pivotal piece. Some talent is going to be passed. Some talent might have to be traded in order to keep these people. But at this juncture, you know, I can't knock the pick. You know, having, you know, he has the size, he has the prerequisite to be something pivotal. It remains to be seen as to, you know, how this is going to work, how this is going to pan out.
646-652-4479. And we're just trying to win a Super Bowl. That's all. It's the goal. And we know how things have panned out the last few years. And we know the massive changes that have come about. Now it's a matter of, you know, building a new team from literal scratch at this point, really, where the direction is and things of that nature. But the one, again, another positive, we know this team does have a direction per who's in charge right now. You know they have a plan and they're executing it. We didn't have plans before. We just didn't, and everybody knew it, okay? So at least that's a positive as well. Now, again, it's going to go into the implementation of these plans. You know, again, the coaching part, the training, all of those different things, the schemes that are going to be put in. Will the players that are picked and put in place be put in the best position to succeed? Because if you're not able to do that, then none of this is even going to really matter. So we're going to find that out over the next, you know, course of a few, you know, weeks to months to the next couple of years overall to see if all this is going to pan out. And right now it's too early to see that. But, I'm a little bit more positive than maybe most would be, even though, you know, a lot of stuff I just didn't agree with happened over the last couple of months. But I still feel that we're in a better direction than we have been the last 4 years prior to this, right? 646-652-4479. Come on, George. Look, here it goes. Here's my answer to the whole hamstring thing real quick. Hold on. Come on. It might not be that bad. 646-652-4479. Any other thoughts on Drake before we go to round two?
Yeah, a few weaknesses. Nearly half of his career receptions were made within 5 yards of the line of scrimmage. A lot of that had to do with the type of offense that they ran at USC, but he's got to get a more intermediate it got to open up his route tree some, because he wasn't asked to run the full route tree in college. His off-snap footwork was well placed, but lacked a burst into his route. Arkansas cornerbacks stay within an arm's length. Aggressive man coverage NFL cornerbacks will disrupt his timing. Could stand to be sharper on his in cuts, out dig, and post routes. Except for his hitch and comeback technique, he wasn't very sudden in his movement. Average acceleration kept him from outrunning a lot of people with the backs. Drew a lot of contact, meaning that having a big body, making a lot of contested catches. He's hit a lot, and John mentioned the hamstring issue. I mentioned the fractured right ankle suffered on October the 30th of last year. So, yes, he does have a few injury concerns. Some interesting stats to know. 22 missed tackles forced, had him as the sixth best among wide receivers. He had 3.52 yards per route run, which was fifth best. 19 contested catches, which was best in the nation. 5.23 yards after the catch per reception, which was outside of the top 50. Drop rate of 6.7%, which was 25th worst among all qualifying receivers. 2021 red zone receiving 23 targets for 14 catches, 103 yards and 6 touchdowns. Deep ball receiving 23 targets, caught 15 for 456 and 1 touchdown, and 3.27 yards after the catch per reception on targets of 20. The targets that traveled 20 or more yards in the air ranked 78 among qualifying wide receivers. So I said this last show, and this is worth repeating as well. If he's not the best wide receiver in this draft, then it's going to be a bit of a disappointment as far as the pick goes. And if he's not a better wide receiver than Chris Olave from Ohio State, who the Saints drafted, our rival, then you got a disaster pick if that's the case.
646-652-4479. Hopefully any injuries will be avoided if he has...
Is it the shoes?
If it's the shoes. Let's see if we can get some good cleats on him this year. So,
well,
that being said...
Let me say something, and this is something that I meant to bring out. Gentlemen, this is a brave new world this year because Matt Ryan is gone. Okay? This is a brave new world. You got either Marcus Mariota who's going to come in and start, or the pick further down the line that we're going to discuss is going to start, or Felipe Frank. I didn't want to cuss y'all that loud or anything, but this is a brave new world. This is a completely brave new world because, see, I would have a different opinion about what was going on if Matt Ryan was still here. But I can't really have an opinion because I don't know what Marcus Mariota still has in the tank or his abilities or whatever. And this new addition, I don't, you know, as I stated, you know, his integration into the system. So, I mean, we are brand new right now, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, really brand new.
Yeah, that is a point. I mean, we can't get around it. A lot of changes have happened, and that's the main one. So we're going to see how things turn out at the end. So let's go to round two.
We're brand new, but let me just say this, though. One thing that never changes in football is you got to win the line of scrimmage. And that's just my problem is we seem to avoid spending our biggest, most premium picks on line of scrimmage players, whether it be offensive linemen to protect our quarterback or defensive guys who can stuff the run or get to the quarterback. And that's what I just didn't understand about taking those two guys' picks as well as running in back-to-back drafts. I love the Pitts pick. A lot of people wanted to get offensive tackle. You know, if anything, in hindsight, the guy that we really missed on was Micah Parsons, who had 13 sacks as defensive rookie of the year. You know what I mean? In the beginning, but I'm just shocked to see it happen two times in a row. Even Thomas Dimitrov never spent back-to-back top 10 picks on a pass catcher. And like I mentioned on the previous show, last time it happened was Braylon Edwards and Kellen Winslow Jr. with the Cleveland Browns. And so it's like we're following their own Browns model, guys.
Again, remains to be seen long-term. So I want to make sure we do get all of our picks in. Round two, we have pick number 38. And since I am experimenting with this, I'll start doing this for the radio consumer. I'm going to play some of the highlights of our 38 pick, and then we're going to talk about them. So give me a second here. So that's enough on Mr. Arnold Ebiketie, number pick 38 in the second round for the Atlanta Falcons. Their first addressing of that defensive line, the defensive pass rush, which we are just miserable in year after year. You have several players having, you know, almost as many sacks as our whole team multiple times. And it looks like this is a pick that, again, on the surface, looks the part. He heard his name be called a whole bunch of times, and you're calling him the new AK, I guess. I don't know. We'll have to see if that sticks or not. We'll see. But he looks like he could be a difference maker on the field. And the motor question usually that you usually have sometimes doesn't look like he'll have that. You know, he's from Penn State, and just I know Jordan's probably going to have some of these, but I'm just looking at those 9.5 stats. 62 tackles, 2 forced fumbles. He has pass defense capability as well. So I just like what I saw from just his tape. And this is a pick that I actually, you know, kind of dug a little bit. So what do y'all think?
I like that pick. You know, anytime we're going to add someone to the edge rusher group, you're not going to hear an argument from me, because my draft philosophy on edge rushers is you keep drafting them every single year until you got a good pass. To me, it's too important in the game of football to have that. It's something that we've lacked. So I certainly like not only taking Arnold Ebiketie, I also like doubling up on pass, which we'll talk about the second one here shortly. You pretty much gave down the stats. He's 6'3", 253 pounds, started out his college career, played his first 2 years at Temple, then transferred to the Penn State, where he had the 9.5 sacks, as you mentioned. Also 18 tackles for a loss to go with those 9.5 sacks. So definitely like this pick. A little bit on him. Per comparison given was Chana Nwosu, who plays for the Chargers. Hopefully he's just a few more sacks than him, because I think he's got 15 sacks in 4 seasons. Strengths, wiry strong and displays good balance, has long arms, great explosive testing, capable of dropping into coverage, does a good job squeezing run gaps, has some speed to power capability, and contains the edge. Weaknesses, lacks ideal height. Would like to see him improve his ability to string together pass rush moves, Chuck Smith. Lacks great strength in his lower body. He was this past season first team All Big Ten, second in the Big Ten in tackles for loss, and third in the Big Ten in sacks.
Danny Kelly from The Ringer says that he is a productive rusher off the edge who combines size, length, and a nice foundation of pass rush moves. Savvy hand usage from Pro Football Focus helps him out. He looks like a veteran already for them, so his learning curve might not be too steep. I really like him. John, what do you think? How do you like this pick at number 38?
Now, let me get some background information. Now, the line system that he played in college predominantly, was it 3-4 or 4-3?
That's a good question. I'm about to look at it, John, because I don't want to say wrong.
And the reason I'm asking that, 255 pounds at the edge, that tells me 4-3. That tells me 4-3 because – in a 3-4.
I would think 3-4 when you get the lighter guys in a 3-4, really.
Well, now, and the reason why, now, we were with Vic Beasley, 6-whatever, 255, and John Abraham on the other side, not John Abraham, but Oh man, I just forgot that man's name. Well, at any rate, 255 pounds on the edges. You know that's just to me. It usually tells me 4'3", because you need that type of quickness and size rushing around the edges. Because in a 3-4, your linebackers, your outside linebackers, you know, sometimes loop around the end of the line, or sometimes go straight up Peachtree Street, depending upon if you can get a double team on the line of scrimmage out of somebody. And the fact that we re-signed Grady, that we didn't know we were going to do prior to the draft, well, we didn't know. It suggests to me that you know, they're going to be alternating between a 3-4 and a 4-3. And Jordan, to your point that you made earlier about not having a pass rush or not having anybody in double digit sacks, you remember we were constantly alternating between a 3-4 and a 4-3. So you didn't have that pocket crusher by design up on the line of scrimmage, and we could never get to the quarterback because we couldn't even, you know, push anybody, you know. And due to lack of speed and lack of technique on the outside, we didn't have anybody that could get to the quarterback. Now, we got close from time to time, but we could never seal the deal unless the quarterback held the ball over 4 to 5 seconds or something, and we ended up with Grady chasing somebody down, or, you know, one of the interior linemen having to slip by somebody to get him. So that's what I really want to know about that pick. Now, you know, if we go to a full commit to a 3-4, now we still have Rush 6'4", 350 or 6'4", 340 that can be a pocket crusher and get a double team or a triple team and allow everybody else to get home. That's what I was really looking for in this draft.
Yeah, I mean, we played predominantly 3-4 last year, but the thing is, even if you play 3-4 defense these days, teams are playing some of the spread formations. You're not playing a lot of base anyway. And so you're going to see four-man lines, you know, one in a lot of the nickel packages where two guys have a hand on the ground, but you could also take those two in guys and stand them up if there are guys that are capable of doing that. But what I can tell, it looks like Penn State plays 4-3 defense, but they do, you know, do some zone blitzing and things of that nature where he did have a chance to drop back in coverage. Which the scout said today, he does have the ability to do that when needed, which is sometimes needed in a 3-4. But I think you're on the right track, John, as far as Tyler Davidson being gone and Rush being that guy that will be the true nose tackle in that 3-4 defense, which I feel like is mandatory if you're going to play 3-4 defense. And then you have Grady as more of an end who can shape more outside on certain fronts and could play, you know, more inside, more, you know, five techniques, sometimes more three techniques, sometimes depending on whether you're playing an even or odd front, because he's a guy that's going to command, you know, extra attention as well. So
646-652-4479 is the number. Ebiketti explodes off the edge and stretches blockers with his arc acceleration, active hands and relentless play personality. He is a long, twitched-up athlete with the motor and mentality to develop into a starting NFL pass rusher. That was Dave Bugler from The Athletic. So a lot of positives, definitely. And, again, if you see the tape, you know, you have some indicators there that, you know, he's not going to be that dude that John just mentioned that I'm not going to repeat his name ever again. Ever again. Yeah. Any other final thoughts on the number two pick before I go to the next one?
I will say, you know, going back to our last show, Jerome Jurinovich, that was the first thing he mentioned about AK, which I'm still not sure where they're getting AK from.
I still haven't figured that out either, but, you know.
That was the first thing Jerome Jurinovich said was he has a high motor, a very high motor. So he's going to be a guy, you know, that's going to give 110%. The old cliche, you know, on every play. And so, you know, just to reiterate from last show, I thought it was very cool that we were discussing the draft, and he was like, hey, there's an edge rusher for Penn State And, you know, he did the best to pronounce his name that he could. I would like the Falcons to pick him. And I had just looked at the draft update, you know, maybe 3 or 4 minutes before that, and that is who he had drafted. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Jerome probably had money on the draft, y'all. 646-652-4479 is the number. All right, so we also had another pick in the second round. It was the number 58th pick, so we're going to play a little highlight clip with a clip of him and introduce him in a second. Again, if you're watching on YouTube, enjoy.
Was down 28-0. They have scored. Oh. Jefferson, the spin. He's tossed down to the backfield.
Round was Mr. Troy Anderson, and if you were listening on Blog Talk Radio, yes, you heard right. He's out there throwing passes and doing all kinds of stuff out there. So he might be another switchblade player we can maybe take advantage of, but that was pretty cool. So I'll give you the first crack at it on this one, Jordan. Tell us a little bit about Troy Anderson.
That's interesting that he played some running back and played some quarterback. And I guess you could possibly see him instead of Felipe Franks back in the little wild Falcon, wild bird formation from time to time. They have one career reception in college. That was back in 2018. That went for 32 yards. Had 21 rushing touchdowns in his college career. Total for his career had 1,412 rushing yards. 1,195 passing yards for a total of 2,607 yards. Completed 115 out of 208 passes for 3 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, though. So I can see why he was smooth, maybe away from quarterback. But let's get to the real meat of the deal. That's the defensive stats. This past season, he was considered the top linebacker in his particular classification, which would be the FBS, whereas University of Georgia was not playing FCS. So he was considered the top linebacker in that division. 147 tackles, 14 tackles for a loss, just 2 sacks, so obviously he wouldn't have to blitz very much. And did recover 1 fumble on the season. Also had 7 pass breakups as well and 2 interceptions. King's a great athlete. As the video said, a track champion, had the fastest 40 time among all the linebackers in the draft, around a 4-4-ish 40. So he's certainly an incredible athlete. It's just, you know, such a big jump in competition from Montana State to the NFL. It would be interesting to see if that athleticism pays off for him. I have high hopes for him, but at the same time, I'm cautiously optimistic. Because as John said, once you've been around for a long time, you've seen some of these guys come out and be super fast in their draws, and during the underwear Olympics, and you see some of them be great, and you see some of them not pan out. So definitely excited to see Mr. Anderson on the field and see what he can do.
Yeah, I again, the eye test says things, but it doesn't say everything. However, you mentioned some of those things that he did have in just this past season, you know, 140-plus tackles, the tackles for loss, the passes defense, had 2 interceptions, and that was in 15 games. He plays hard. You know, he plays with, he plays a little ferocious out there. He's all over the place, right? And I think I read it in, it was either Bleacher Report or that The Athletic again. It was the Bleacher Report. Derek Clawson, Anderson's game is defined by speed and comfort in space. A tall, well-built linebacker, Anderson still flies sideline to sideline and has some of the best range in the class. Now, that sideline to sideline definitely is going to count. you know, that goes into those speed backs that we always have trouble with somehow or whatever. That might be negated a little bit with Anderson being on the team. Plus, his ability to maybe get to the quarterback could be utilized as well. You have another person that can maybe get to the ball. You know, again, that's that we need to have happen. We have to be able to show people that, hey, we can actually stop you. You can't be back there making bacon, eggs, and pancakes and then throw the ball, you know, and people be wide open. So I think it's going to be a nice pick. Again, though, he has to prove it. Again, the coaching staff has to get him where he needs to be, and we're going to find that out in the near future. John, what do you think about the pick, Mr. Troy Anderson, number 58?
I'm going to say this. Mike Davis, the running back that we had, you remember the pictures? Yeah, you're the one that we just cut. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about right there. When you showed the picture, ooh, he's going to kill some folks. Man, look at them thighs and look at them calves and look at all this.
That was just a picture, though. That wasn't no tape of him doing anything, though.
Well, he was running.
Well, okay.
Now, the man was running. Now the problem, and the reason I brought this up, is that everybody forgot once they saw that picture that you have to have an offensive line in front of you in order to take advantage of those quads and all that type of stuff so that you can get a hole instead of stepping over dead roaches in your way before you can get to the hole. Got to see what this man can do. Got to coach him up. And please, Atlanta Falcons linebackers coaches, tell your linebackers to go for the tackle first, then strip the ball. Because that was a lot of our problem for the past few years. We're trying to get the big hit, which was outlawed. We're trying to go for the ball to get on SportsCenter instead of stopping the play right there when you make first contact. Put the man on the ground. Put the man on the ground.
Rugby style tackling that was supposed to be so great.
those who watch it on YouTube on IMTN Worldwide Radio on YouTube, you just saw my smirk there when Jordan said Dan Quinn teaching. I'm just saying it was a response that just happened. Just, you know, it was just instant. I couldn't even control it anyway. 646.
It was a twitch.
4479. Yeah. I will say this. And with the analogy in regards to having an offensive line to open up some holes, but at the same time, you have to have some personal skills to be able to get your own yards too, a.k.a. break a tackle, a.k.a. make a move every now and again. So there's that part of it too that Davis wasn't really all that great at doing himself.
Yeah, almost to the football too.
Yeah, exactly. So on the linebacker side of things, you're right. We got to make sure that those linebacker coaches are going to be teachers. Technique is going to go a long way. The scheme is going to go a long way. But we got Dean Pease over that. So I'm confident on that end. This is going to be a matter of Anderson himself taking it all in, which I've not heard anything out there to say he's not a sponge and, you know, he's going to do a tack on us or anything like that. You know how I fit that in right there, didn't I? So hopefully, you know, again, this is all, every draft is always speculation. Every draft is a hit or miss. You just never know. So we're going to see, but right now I feel good about the pick myself. Go ahead, Jordan.
Just to give his official height, 235 pounds, so he is a bigger linebacker for a guy that's going to play mostly on the inside. He was freshman of the year for the Big Sky Conference in 2017 and Big Sky Defensive Player of the Year this past season in 2021. He was primarily outside linebacker in 2019 and switched to the Michael middle linebacker. They played more of a 4-2-5 scheme, so they played almost exclusively nickel, which you see a lot of in the NFL. My only question about this pick was, I mean, and I know the so-called draft experts don't always get things right by any means, and possibly had we not taken him at this pick, he might have went 3 picks later. I don't know. But for example, ESPN had him in the mock draft to the Falcons, but they had him at the pick 74. CBS Sports had him going to the Jets at pick 69. Sporting News had him going to the Jets at pick 111. So you know, I just wonder about it. Like I said, with the big change in competition, but first and foremost, I don't understand how you take the best linebacker in the lower classification over the Butkus Award winner for best linebacker in the nation with the big boy conferences, and that's the Kobe Dean. And I'll continue to beat this drum until it's proven otherwise. I think Nakobe Dean is going to be a great football player. Now, there again, I'm not down on Mr. Addison. Maybe, you know, good football players do come from small colleges. Maybe this guy's the next Brian Urlacher. I mean, Brian Urlacher came from, what, Northern Illinois? I'm not mistaken. So maybe he's the next Brian Urlacher. But I'm a lot more confident that Nakobe Dean is the next Justin Tuggle at this time than I am about Addison being the next Brian Urlacher. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see. But, and I have more, you know, on Nakobe here at the end. But that's just my question with the pick. Is for one, I really didn't think we even needed an inside linebacker first and foremost. I think Mikael Walker's ready to step in and start now. I think we needed one in this draft at some point for depth. But personally, you know, if I didn't go Dean, I would have went offensive line or a different direction with that pick, just to be honest with you.
Yeah, 646-652-4479 if you want to call in. I will say when just the essence of the draft and getting the best player at a particular position and they're actually there and you don't, you have to be having a real good reason on the technical side of why you did pick this person instead. And then that person really has to go above and beyond to basically prove that you were right in that pick. And that's a lot of pressure on these guys, of course, and that's part of the game. I mean, they didn't have to be drafted. They could have just, you know, played another sport or maybe just sold insurance or whatever. But they decided to be drafted, and so they can't help where they're drafted at. So they can't also help the expectations that comes in when you just watch the national championship happen in the same state that your football, your pro football team is in, and he went by the board. So again, it's going to be there until the regular season happens, and 5 years from now we're going to match them up and just be able to see that comparison and see how it stands. But like I said, at this point, this is where we're at, so we can't really, you know, go backwards or anything. But it's going to be interesting to see how things pan out. I want to go to our next round, which is round three. We had pick 74 in the third round to begin with, so I want to go ahead and play little clip of that next player, and I think I figured out something too, y'all. So let's see. Those on IMPN Worldwide Radio, let's continue this experiment this evening. Let's see if this works. So at pick number 74 in the third round, we picked Desmond Ridder from Cincinnati. And you saw on the IMTN Worldwide Radio YouTube page, if you saw some of those highlights, you saw a lot of RPO in there, you know, the famous three letters there. So what do you think, John Jordan, in regards to Mr. Desmond Ridder? I'll give you one of y'all the first crack at talking about him real quick.
All right. Pull up my freezing notepad here. Desmond Ridder, out of Cincinnati, 6'4". One second. Hey, Desmond Ridder, 6'4", 215 pounds. He completed 251 of 387 passes. That's a 64.9 completion percentage. 3,334 yards, 30 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, a 158.7 QB rating, which, well, that's what I was looking up. I was trying to see what a perfect rating is in college because I know it's a little bit different because that would be pretty much a perfect rating in the NFL, but I know the rating scale is different in college. Some of his transition experience, 4-year starter at Cincinnati, has a career record of 44-6, has good height for the position. Majority of his throws were predetermined before the snap, but he has proved capable of reading defenses both before and after the snap. A number of times he looked the safety out to draw a one-on-one matchup elsewhere. He can roll out and run an RPO-style system with elements of a West Coast offense mixed in, can handle the zone read flawlessly. Solid footwork, helped him develop a clean base to throw up. He's at his best when throwing in rhythm in the short and intermediate passing game. Usually kept his eyes downfield when he felt pressure and had to move. Occasionally flashed incredible anticipation on his throws, so there's definitely some potential there. He has the arm strength to launch catchable bombs 40 to 45 yards downfield. Had 73 pass attempts to travel 20-plus yards in the air, which is one fewer than Kenny Pickett, the first quarterback drafted. Very willing to run and has been doing so since high school. A dual-threat player with solid speed and sudden bursting on the move, and he's mature with a calm demeanor. Attribute shows him on and off the field, seems to be bright and of high character. And I will say, he did have experience playing both against Georgia in the bowl game, not this past season, but the season before that, as well as against Alabama in the college football playoff this past year. While he didn't look particularly great or spectacular in those games, he did look like he belonged on the field. Wasn't a situation where he just overwhelmed by playing against two of the best college football teams in the nation, including the greatest defense of all time, even though he caught them the year before that. So I think there's definitely some positive signs there.
Yeah.
John?
Now, this is one of the most intriguing picks that we've made, partially because it was a makeup pick from last year. Because as I've always said, that if you have lost that many games to where you're the number 4 pick and you've got 10 to 12 great prospects at quarterback to choose from, you choose a quarterback.
Wait a minute, we got Felipe Franks, though.
Congratulations, you played yourself.
Come on.
See, Big Lots, they have on the shelves, and they got some stuff in the back to put on the shelves once everybody buys that shiny stuff off the shelf. And see, that's what they went and got. You know, that's what they went and got. Because...
Can I ask you something, John? Have you looked at Malik Willis? And between those two quarterbacks, Ritter and Malik Willis, which prospect did you like better?
See, I knew nothing about Ritter. You know, I saw Malik Willis and what it was that he did in the combine. But, you know, I knew nothing about Ritter. And I was kind of biased toward Malik Willis because, you know, I was enamored with the arm and the capability of the arm. Now, to Ritter's credit, what I've been hearing from various people, and it was a friend of mine, Ryan Walker, who's going to be on tomorrow night. He was talking about how this man was, as the term used to be a long time ago, he was down by law. He had to scratch and scrape and rough and cuss and do whatever just to make himself relevant. And the team is in that position right now. The Atlanta Falcons team is trying to claw its way back to relevancy. What better than to have a renegade, rough-cut, run-of-the-litter, quote-unquote, to lead a team like that, kind of like the Oakland Raiders. So I'm willing to give him a shot, you know, as I am willing to give everybody that was drafted a shot. And I believe that he might be a bit more polished than Willis because of where he comes from and the type of defense that he had faced. And just like you said, this was a year before the greatest defense of all time, you know, was out there. But, you know, he did show up against Georgia. He definitely did show up against that fledgling defense that Georgia had at the time. Now, my concerns are the accuracy, deep. And, you know, you're catching them young. But, oh, that's something I do need to say as a positive note as far as this young man is concerned. This man is going to quarterback camp right now. He's going to quarterback camp right now to hone and polish his skills, and, man, I applaud that with every hand that I got to clap with, because the one that just left didn't go until 7 years into his tenure as Atlanta Falcons quarterback, okay? But this young man right now is starting off right, going to quarterback camp. They're going to address his weaknesses, going to try to enhance his strength. I applaud that 100% because, see, you're going in, and it's going to be a quarterback competition. This man, Arthur Smith, is going to have a quarterback competition. And if he beats Mariota out, hey, this man may be playing from day one.
646-652-4479. Those are some really good points, John. What I want to do, because actually we do have some messages from some of our listeners and watchers and callers, but I want to take a little bit of a break as we're at the top of the hour. We're going to come back and continue talking about Mr. Desmond Ridder, newest quarterback of the Atlanta Falcons, drafted in the third round, pick number 74. When we come back, we're going to finish up talking about him and move on to our next pick. So don't go anywhere. Again, thanks for everybody who's watching on IMTN Worldwide Radio. Make sure you share the show. It's a live show. Also, those who are listening on Blog Talk Radio, you can call in right now, 646-652-4479. We're going to be right back. And this is, of course, Around the ATL on IMTN Worldwide Radio. Back. This is Around the ATL on IMTN Worldwide Radio, coming to you May 4th. May the 4th be with you. Star Wars Day. But for some reason, they messed up and couldn't get Kenobi out in time. I don't understand that. It is May 4th. What are you doing? Anyway, that's a whole other story. 646-652-4479 is the number. We're talking about the draft after the draft has happened. And for the Atlanta Falcons, they've had several picks, and, you know, they're rebuilding their team. They're really starting from scratch and trying to plug all these holes that we've had over a certain length of time and trying to build an actual championship team. And we're seeing the first fruits of that a little bit. Right now we're actually talking about the newest quarterback on the team. Now, some things for myself as far as Mr. Desmond Ridder. For a lot of people, you know, what you heard out there was this is not the draft to even really get a quarterback. And you saw that as the rounds progressed, that no quarterbacks were even being looked at, basically, right? So that kind of started telling you that this was maybe not the draft. However, this was an opportunity to get one, okay? And that's not to say that next year they might not get another one. I don't know. You never know how that works out, right? But in regards to a comparison to whether or not you get Ridder or you get Willis, I look at it just on the surface, and you don't want to say anything is a toss-up, but it's really going to come down to something like what John said. How motivated are they to get better in their weaknesses and whatnot? And then also what they did do on the field to an extent. That always plays a part, but at the same time, you know, we've had so many quarterbacks who did really, really well in college and didn't do diddly squat in the NFL. you know, they went completely backwards. So, again, it's always going to be hit or miss, and it really kind of is twofold. It's coaching staff and it's that player. Does the player want to be great? Because mentally, you, in the NFL, you have to want that. You know, then you have to have a coaching staff that actually is good at developing those quarterbacks. In the NFL, of all the sports, when we're talking about the word development, it really is applicable in the NFL. Without that, we've seen too many examples. We've seen too many examples. Now, whether or not an injury thing will come up or not, that's hit or miss. Again, you got some quarterbacks who've only missed 3 games in their whole career, and then you have quarterbacks who are trying to come to the Atlanta Falcons because for some reason he just thinks the Falcons are the team. I don't know what RG3 is thinking about right now, but it is what it is. One thing I'm going to throw out there real quick, and then we can finish up. I wanted to read something from Pro Football Focus. Ritter is a decisive and quick pocket passer who has good enough arm talent to hit defenses over the top. While he's not much of a runner himself, his speed demands that he's accounted for. So that does add an element there. Also, Dave Brugler from The Athletic, he has the physical tools and mindset to compete for starting reps early in his NFL career. So, you know, there's some riders out there who have some positive spins on them. Anything extra between you and John Jordan in regards to Mr. Desmond Ritter?
Just to give off the rushing stats, 583 yards, 5 touchdowns 1 year, 650 yards, 5 touchdowns his sophomore year, 592 yards, 12 touchdowns his junior year, at 355 yards and 6 touchdowns this past year for Mr. Desmond Ritter. One of the concerns about him is he is pretty slightly built. He was one of just 8 quarterbacks to throw over 100 passes in college who weighed less than 225 pounds. They attempted at least 100 passes. He only 8 of them weighed less than 250 pounds, excuse me. So that's a concern. Offensive scheme at Cincinnati did not ask Ritter to make a lot of reads from play to play. They were more of a design throw offense. The coaching in terms of his throwing motion delivery was smooth, but often elongated. Has 26 career passes, with 8 last year, 4 of them coming in the game against Alabama. Pass velocity left a little bit to be desired, more of a flicker and a lobber than a gunner. As John mentioned, accuracy was hit or miss. A retooling of his technique from toe to head should unlock Ritter's upside in terms of getting the ball out fast with improved velocity and accuracy. Was stare down receivers and got away with a bunch of turnover-worthy throws that he probably won't get away with on Sundays. Pocket presence and awareness was spotty, sometimes drifting around the pocket rather than stabilizing his feet or climbing up into the pocket. Would also sometimes not feel or see oncoming pressure and be forced to scramble or get hit. Sometimes struggle with sideline and far field throws. Not necessarily the best choice for Hail Mary passes because his arm strength tops out at about 45 yards in the air. Truly benefited from playing against weaker level competition in the American Conference. Few other advanced stats to know. Had a 73.9 adjusted completion rate in 2021, which was 33rd among qualified quarterbacks, 7.8 touchdown percentage rate, which was 16th, 81 of 387 batted behind the line of scrimmage, 300 of his yards came on screen passes, which was 48, 1118 of his yards came on deep passes, which was 10, 1340 of his passing yards came after the catch, which was 36, 21.1 touchdown rate on red zone attempts, 33rd among qualifiers with at least 200 pass attempts, and 5 career interceptions over 148 red zone pass attempts, tied for 9th most among quarterbacks over the past 5 years. So a few tidbits on Mr. Desmond Ritter. Got anything, John?
Now, you see all of that extensive research that those people did on this quarterback. Do you hear? I mean, they went to the nth degree in examining what this man does, what he's good at and what he's not good at. Now, the one thing that concerns me right now that definitely going to have to be worked out. And it's good that he's going to a quarterback camp so that they can get that out of him, is staring at receivers. Now, you know that is one of my pet peeves from the previous quarterback. Hey, play it again, Chris, because so that everybody knows. Because, look, receivers can't get open if you tell them where you're throwing the ball, especially if they don't get that far off of the line of scrimmage, you know. But he's in quarterback camp. They can work with him on that, as well as his velocity, his arm strength, and those throws that he's not good at. Because, as I pointed out before, Tom Brady was drafted number 6, and he made himself into what he is now. He made himself into what he is now. This is what I expect from this young man. And the way that Arthur Smith last year, when Matt Ryan was there, there were numerous articles where Arthur Smith said, I can coach him. So, Mr. Smith, coach, you're going to get an opportunity to bring a young one up from infancy to grow into what it is that you need for him to be before you determine whether you're going to pay him big money.
Yep. And Tom Brady, he was drafted in the 6th round. You know, you never know. But you do have to want to be that person. You know, I think it was when we were interviewing Jerome Durinovich, shout out to Jerome again for being on the show last Friday. Hines Ward wasn't drafted in the 1st round, right? Antonio Brown wasn't drafted in the 1st round. As far as the player is part of it, again, the rounds sometimes don't matter as much as can that player play football or not. And then can he be coached to eliminate some of the mistakes that he usually might make in the college game and going to the pros? Because that's usually the gap, right? The speed of the NFL, that's what they all say, right? So sometimes depending on the position, that might not have that much of a transition, but quarterback is definitely one of them, right? And that's not something seemingly that'll just happen overnight necessarily. But we're going to find out. We're going to find out very soon. One more point, Jordan. We're going to go to the next
one. Last note. NFL comparison for Ridder, according to one of the scouts, he says, there were times when I saw Ridder make plays that made me feel like I was watching Justin Fields. And there were also other times when I felt like I was watching a much leaner Jalen Hurts. The jury is still out on both of these quarterbacks, just like it will be out on Ridder until he gets a chance to develop at the NFL level. I expect the draft capital to be much closer to that of Hurts than Fields, which it was, which means Ridder should have some time on his side to grow his game and become an eventual NFL star. So definitely excited about it. It's always exciting when you bring another quarterback. You know, we just have to wait and see, you know, how he develops.
646-652-4479. So with the number 82 pick of the 3rd round, we actually addressed a position, again, that we've had some issues in. And one thing from last week's show, Jordan said, you know what, we need to get more than one. So that's exactly what we did. So let's go ahead and get a couple of highlights of our 3rd pick, and then we're going to introduce them.
Great first half so far. Here comes the pressure. There it goes.
Middle just needs to make sure. Oh, yeah, you saw it. Fumble on the turnover.
Lick. Harris caught the hold and rustled down. D'Angelo only got away. What's that? And
So D'Angelo Malone was our number 82 pick in the 3rd round. Thanks for the Atlanta Falcons for that clip. One of the biggest things I saw, and I'm not even talking stats or anything, he's looking for the ball. Like, he's finding it. Wherever that ball is, his hands are near it. That's a huge thing. You know, again, turnovers. You know, being able to have the capability of causing a turnover goes a long way on your defensive side, too. You know, you win the turnover game, you usually win in the NFL. This is one part of the game that definitely in the sport, if you turn the ball over too many times, you're probably not winning. You can't afford it. So he's one who could probably turn over the ball a little bit for you. I'll just throw out just a little bit. 9 tackles for a loss, 17 and a half. 9 sacks. He had 17 and a half tackles for a loss. Had 4 forced fumbles, as you saw in the highlights there. And that was just in 14 games in 2021. So this is somebody I feel that, again, you're talking about just the energy and just his abilities just on the field can go a long way. Yes, he might not have been playing in, you know, the toughest conference in the land, which is the SEC, go Dawgs, right? But just, again, eye test a little bit of what he's actually done production-wise. It does speak volumes. Jordan, what do you think about this pick?
I like the pick, personally, because I just like addressing edge rushers. And, you know, you can get good edge rushers from different places. One of the best edge rushers in the league, because Khalil Mack came from Buffalo. So doesn't bother me that he didn't play in it, or what have you. DeAndre Malone is 6'4", 240 pounds. You mentioned the stats from this past season. He also had a 6-sack season. And one thing about DeAndre, he's a fifth-year guy. I got to do some research on that. I think he may have took advantage of the extra year granted due to COVID. But in 2018, he had 9 tackles for a loss and 6 sacks. 2019, he had 20 and a half tackles for a loss and 11 sacks. 2020, 10 and a half tackles for a loss and 6 sacks. And you mentioned the numbers from this past season with the 17 and a half tackles for a loss and 9. You also mentioned the 4 forced fumbles. He has 8 of those for his college career as well. Also does have 1 defensive touchdown on a fumble recovery as well. So definitely like that about him. He's a 2-time Conference USA Defensive Player of the Year. So that's impressive. Led FBS, D lineman, in tackles twice in his last 3 seasons. So that's pretty impressive. Just a few quick notes, pro comparison. Eli Harris, strengths, good waistband around the corner, which I personally have always felt that's key for a pass rush. You got to be able to have that agility to be able to dip down underneath those tackles and turn that corner and get to the quarterback. Also has good change of direction, natural body length that allows him to stay off blocks, great production over the past 4 years, plays to the whistle, which I always love, and plays with balance. Weaknesses, room for improvement in the run defense. Thin frame, will stand to add mass, sometimes struggles to get off blocks, needs to develop more counter moves, Chuck Smith. So my thing about this pick is I love, like I said, adding to the edge rush. I think with Mr. Malone, we're not going to see him play a lot on first and second downs and running situations. I think he'll be a guy that you'll see used exclusively on second and long, on third down when you know there's going to be a passing situation. I think, you know, that he could potentially be useful in that role from day one. At least that's what I'm hoping for, sir.
One thing I want to mention is what about Comiskey, right? And where is he like? I know, but I have to throw it out there because, I mean, technically that's why we got him, right? So, again, one of the things that was read, I think it was Derek Clawson in Bleacher Report, that Malone shows great speed and space and enough fluidity to keep a good pace while changing direction. Chris Trapasso mentioned how he's a high-energy rusher, polished game. He does have to add that weight, like you mentioned, and that the Falcons doubling up on the edge is smart. Situational play, ain't nothing wrong with having people in certain situations play on certain downs. Bill Belichick is really good at that, right? So I think that could be an advantage if he does add a little bit more weight, because that is an issue if you're there and the offensive lineman is just, you know, he's not even having to try to do anything. He's just out there eating donuts, you know, Krispy Kreme or whatever, just kind of not even blocking you, just kind of pushing you away. That's not going to be good. You have to be able to put some kind of push if your moves at first don't work. That's why we saw certain people that I'm not going to say their names again. That's what we saw from them. They never developed any kind of other move. So if that one initial move didn't work, we just saw them just keep getting stuck, right? And it was very frustrating at a certain point. So that's going to be something. But, again, having him out there as an extra person, also, again, it might drive some of the other guys who are still on the team to say, hey, they're trying to replace me. Maybe I need to play. If we could get that going to say, hey, my job is on the line, let me play harder. Because, that wasn't per the last regime. The last regime basically just said, well, it is what it is. Fast and Furious and whatever the stupid cliche was. I'm not going to get into that much. But there was no adjustments, and players kept getting rewarded for mediocre play. Okay? And at a certain point, that can't be allowed. If you just can't play, you shouldn't be on the field taking up space. You just can't do it. Now, if you're the only player that we got, then it is what it is. But, again, if you don't have personal pride to get better and then the coaching staff can't figure out how to get you going, something has to be done. And this is what's happening right now. And you've seen that for the last 2 years, that even last year, accountability. There are certain players that were not playing anymore. You noticed it. Sometimes they had to play because there was no replacements. But there was a lot of other players who weren't in the lineup anymore. It was slow and gradual, but you saw it. So that was encouraging. And, again, I believe that's what this draft is doing, too. John, any thoughts on Mr. D'Angelo Malone, number 82 in the third round of last week's draft?
Man came from the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers. I tell you. All right. Well, you know, I echo what Jordan was saying. Get your two. Whatever position that you have, get your two, because I want that same type of motor, energy, weight, strength, toughness, viciousness to be in there when I pull him out and put somebody back in. Because, you know, under the previous regime, you had people that were in on passing downs or specified running downs. And all your quarterback had to do was take a look at the personnel on the field and audible into the opposite of what it was they were preparing for. You know, because, you know, I'm one of those people that, hey, man, if my nose tackle is 350 for a passing down, I want my nose tackle at 350 for a running down, too, because his job is to get back there in the backfield and eat up whatever it is that's coming out of the backfield, whether it be the quarterback passing or whether it's the running back running, you know. So I'm going to see how this works out, you know, and lifting weights, eating some grits and not eating all of that creatine and protein powder, you know, and put some real weight on him, weight that will be on him that will last for the whole game. Because I never will forget about Larry Allen. What he said one time, pointing at another man on the sideline, said, "You see that man right there? He cut up like a doggone roast. Creatine, protein powder, and all that type of stuff. Now he weighs 300-something pounds right now, but by the end of the game, he'll be down around about 270, and he's going to be tired because I'm going to lay this collard greens, fat back, and buttermilk cornbread on him all game long, and he's not going to be able to lift his arms up."
Wow, 646-652-4479. So again, we're one of the reasons I did like this draft is we are addressing needs, you know. And again, previous regime, that wasn't their forte, unfortunately, and we've paid the price over the last decade because they refused to, you know. Again, I think everybody can agree still. You're building from within. You're going to build on those trenches because you're either protecting the quarterback or you're getting to the quarterback. And if you can't do neither of those things, you're not going to win as many games as the other teams that do that. And we've seen that for decades plus where you see these franchises like the Pittsburgh or New England Patriots and others that have won 10 games or more, Kansas City Chiefs, year after year after year for decades, literally, for systems that work. And they don't go away from what works, you know. And what they do is they also get better at making it work, too, because players adjust. The game has adjusted over the years. It's not like we're in 1975 anymore, obviously, right? But, you know, you have to be able to do that and be flexible in change, but still picking the best players and getting them in that right position and getting them to play, signing them to those contracts means nothing if they can't really do their jobs, and they got to do their jobs, so... Mr. D'Angelo Malone, we're gonna see. I don't know if he's gonna bring any moonshine from Kentucky or not, but we'll find out in the near future, I'm sure.
He's gonna sneak it in,
because I think that's the last defensive pick that we had. And you know, I tweeted this out. You know, we could talk about quarterbacks, offense all day, but every single Atlanta Falcons team that's been to the NFC Championship game or farther, which would be the Super Bowl, has this one thing in common. 1998, you had Lester Archambault with 10 sacks. Also, you had Chuck Smith with 8.5 that year. 2004, you had Patrick Kearney with 13 sacks and Rod Coleman, who a lot of people forget about, with 11.5 sacks. 2012, that's John Abraham with Tim Scott. And in 2016, somehow miraculously, Vic Beasley had 15 and a half sacks. And so pass rush is very much key to winning, especially has been for us in Atlanta, because you do not have a team without a 10-sack guy in Atlanta history that's made the NFC Championship game or farther.
Defense win championships. I keep saying it. To avoid it makes no sense, because as many points as you can get, you still got to stop the other team. Again, Tom Brady once won the Super Bowl 13, doggone three. I'm just saying that doesn't happen otherwise. You know, Peyton Manning's last Super Bowl, you saw what he did in his. He didn't do anything. If it wasn't for the fact that he had that awesome defense behind him in that running game, Peyton would only have one Super Bowl. You know, John Elway didn't win in his prime. He won his two, basically, not old and raggedy, but he was getting there. But he had, what, that defense and one of the greatest running games that you could ever want in a Super Bowl, right? So, again, you got to be able to have some defense to say, we're going to stop you. Like, guys, you know what? Y'all go take a chill pill over here. We're not going to let them score for a quarter or two quarters or maybe the whole game. Eventually, you have to want to have that. Because it makes everything easier. Why wouldn't you want to have a top defense, right? So we're going to find out this season for sure. Like Jordan mentioned, that was our last defensive pick in this particular draft. So we're going to go on the offensive side, addressing some needs a little bit. So our round five pick was number 151. And so we're going to throw some highlights out there for those who are watching on YouTube. Appreciate it on IMTN Worldwide Radio YouTube page. Thank you. Make sure you share it.
Algier, outside, Algier, inside, end zone, touchdown. And then right to step and is off. He's 40, he's 20, he is touchdown. Here's all the stars. Taylor Romney knocked out of the game. This man's loose. Algier down the sideline. He's 20. Algier to the five and he dies.
So those are just a few examples of the number 151 pick, round five, Tyler Algier. Again, one of the things that you just have to notice is just him hitting the hole and getting through it. Now, John mentioned it, you got to have somebody getting some holes, and hopefully we'll do that. But the other thing he's really known for, breaking tackles as well. So that's going to be something that we haven't gotten to see a whole lot. But we know one thing that happened with that particular pick, it did precipitate us not having, somebody on the team anymore. Well, we know Mike Davis was released. But what about all the other running backs that we have? We can't keep all of them, but we're definitely going to have a running back competition, I believe, at a certain point. So, Jordan, any first thoughts on this pick before I mention mine and John mentions his? And Jordan appears frozen on his end. So we're going to clip Jordan out for a second until he gets back live. So in that case, I'll go ahead and jump to my thoughts on Mr. Tyler. We've needed somebody dynamic for a little bit now, just a little bit. Again, we haven't had that much success in the run game over the last few years, relatively. You know, we can mention the offensive line a lot, but at a certain point, you just have to have somebody really dynamic. You got to be able to have somebody who has the speed, the strength to actually be a three-down back, because you do have a lot of three-down backs in the league. It is not running back by committee by everybody, okay? You do have those guys out there. I believe he can fill that role. He also has the speed. He can break away. You know, he can do all those things that you really want out of a running back. Can he catch out the backfield? We're going to find that out. How about making blocks for the quarterback? We're going to find that out, right? But I feel that he could do so much on this team, and it's just going to be a matter of him getting the touches at the end of the day, right? So, Jordan, you're back. Before I get into some of the thoughts that some of the writers out there have mentioned and what John has to say, what do you feel about Mr. Tyler? Go ahead, Jordan. Oh, Jordan has some technical difficulties. Oh, there you are. Go ahead, Jordan.
Yeah, I'm not sure what's going on there. A little freezing going on. Tyler Allgeier, 276 carries, 1,601 yards, 23 touchdowns this past season. Also caught 28 passes for 199 yards. This past season was the second straight 1,000-yard season because he had 1,130 yards and 13 touchdowns the prior season. 5'11", 220-pound power back out of BYU. Also a guy that plays some linebacker. So it seems like we got a lot of guys that can play multiple positions in this draft or that has played multiple positions before. Strengths are big, thick, chiseled, moose on the back with solid quicks for his size, not an elusiveness base runner, excelled in his zone scheme in college, loves hitting the cutback lane, and typically delivers a hit on the defender, which does not phase him, creates lanes for himself, very important to the Falcons offensive line, because of his physical ability to quickly recognize blocks materializing, solid all-around runner ready to be a workhorse. Traits aren't special, though, not a burner, not a laterally explosive back, all about all old-school power and reading blocks outstandingly. Get him in a zone-heavy scheme, and he could be very productive. Weaknesses, slowly gather and change direction, displays below-average burst, good production as a pass catcher, but does not look to have natural hands, inconsistent blocker, which definitely is going to have to be something worked on. Between concerns as a pass catcher and pass protection, it will be difficult for him to be a three-down back. He tied for the FBS lead with 23 rushing touchdowns, and he ranked fourth in FBS with 1,601 rushing yards on a school record for carries with 276. He was also seventh in FBS with 7.53 yards per carry.
John, any thoughts on the running back, Mr. Tyler Allgeier?
Now, your next pick is going to go a long way, possibly, determining how good this man is going to be. And that's the offensive lineman from Georgia. Now, what we have now is, now, Jordan, you said he wasn't a three-down back.
Well, they're saying that he's going to have to get better in pass protection to be a three-down back because he's already not a great pass receiver. But, you know, pass protection is something that can be worked on. And so, I won't write off the potential for him to be a three-down back in the future. I just think initially he may be the starter on first and second down, but, you know, maybe have more of a Patterson-type guy in there on third down.
Now, John, before you go on, I'm going to just throw this out there by Pro Football Focus, which, you know, I do kind of respect this, you know. No-nonsense running style that's perfect for a bigger back. Vision is a plus. Always seems to be gaining ground toward the open hole. They say outstanding pass blocker, finds work, and eliminates threats. And that's Pro Football Focus saying that, so I don't know.
Yeah. Well, hey, just like you asking me and asking Jordan, and we're consulting various outlets, everybody has an opinion, you know, as far as, you know, how good this man is doing this or that or whatever. So, you know, it's going to remain to be seen. Now, big back, do you really want big back cutting? Or do you want big back? What was that, Jordan? I didn't hear you.
I said Arthur Smith seems to love big running back.
Right. Well, hey, you punish little cornerbacks, little safeties, and little linebackers with big backs, okay, as long as they can run north and south. See, this offensive line, and say, for instance, you put a fullback in front of this man. Now, if this man can get some speed going north and south, he's going to be a punisher. Definitely do not want a man with this type of size doing that much dancing behind the line of scrimmage before he hits a hole. You know, this man is only effective if he's moving, you know, and going north and south. And,
I don't know.
Well, if you are trying to cut to a hole, your linebackers and your linemen now are fast enough to get to that hole, to get to that spot where that man is cut, versus you sending, okay, your offensive lineman takes out the defensive lineman. Your fullback takes out the first linebacker. By the time that hole opens all the way up, your running back is at full speed killing anybody else that's in the way. Okay? And see, now that's how Derrick Henry was running. Now, this man is no Derrick Henry, but Derrick Henry, the people he was putting on the ground were cornerbacks, safeties, and small line. Okay? He didn't have to deal too much with the defensive line. He didn't have to deal too much with defensive linemen, but, you know, he was making his bones and getting on SportsCenter by the stiff arm he was putting on itty-bitty on those cornerbacks or whatever. And, you know, he was trucking everybody else. So that's why, you know, I really, this next pick that you guys are going to talk about is going to be very important in this man's development or the offensive line period, because – Well, we'll talk about that when we get to the next pick.
Yeah. 646-652-4479. I will say this in regards to the big back before I make some of these other points, is that you've had some big backs out there with good feet. And if you got good feet, you can get around some of that. And then if you can break a tackle, it's even better. And that's all you need to do sometimes to be able to break. It's the difference between having just 2 yards and 6.5 yards sometimes, is that you got those quick feet to get around wherever you need to go, and or you be able to break with just a simple arm tackle, and or you're just strong and they can't wrap you up. You know what I'm saying? We haven't had that kind of player in a long time, or even having the capability of having that type of player. So I think that's going to be interesting. I know that, let's see, I think it was Lance Zerline from NFL.com says that Mr. Tyler is well-built, highly productive zone scheme runner with impressive vision and feel for the job. Algier is smooth and instinctive with one-cut talent. He effectively navigates the ebbs and flows of run lane development. So that means he knows where to go. He has a feel for how to get around a little bit. Nate Tice from The Athletic, Algier is a running back with a good build who has true three-down potential in the NFL. He runs with a good base and is light on his feet. That's why I was mentioning with polished footwork. That's what I was saying for his size. And some of his highlights show that right off the bat. So that's what I was saying and going with as far as that goes. But, again, still, it's a determining factor we're going to talk about in a second in regards to that offensive line being able to do their jobs and getting hands on people. So we're going to really find that out. But I think he has a shot to be in the mix earlier than not. Go ahead, Jordan.
Real quick, it is very interesting how you read two different, you know, scouts or, you know, analysts or what have you, and they'll have totally different opinions. Like, cause I'm going to tell you something, man, he's a guy who I used to look towards. Mr. Lance Erline, I don't really have much to even, I don't think I'm going to read his reports anymore. Well, I read a report on Nakobe Dean. He said that Nakobe Dean had below average play recognition, below average. I mean, I'm like, I watch this guy every Saturday, and he has some of the best play recognition I've seen. In fact, our guy Jamie Clifton, who's been on the show, we were having a conversation on Twitter with Mr. Zerline about that particular scouting report, because I just don't understand how some of these guys see what they see.
That's true. That's a good point. I'm excited about it, really, because, again, we had a turnstile at the running back position, basically, the last few years, and just kind of ghosting it a little bit. And think about where we should be as a team. Your running game goes a long way in regards to taking pressure off whoever the quarterback might be. Again, if the other team knows that you're not going to run the ball because you can't run the ball, what are they supposed to do? Let you run the ball? No, they're going to tee off on whoever the quarterback is and be in their face all day long. And then it's up to your offensive line to at least pass block, which, guess what, weren't that great doing that last year either. So hopefully there'll be a little bit more substance to that part of it. Again, that's where coaching is going to come in. We're going to find out. Again, year two of the new regime, we're going to see if that improves. But there's certain offensive linemen that, again, this is like, why, you know, are they still here? Or, you know, what's going on, you know? So we're going to find that out. Any final thoughts on Mr. Tyler at pick 151 in round 5, guys? None?
No.
Cool beans. So let's go to round six, our last round of the NFL draft. Quick question. This was our last pick in the sixth round, and my bad because I left after the sixth round. Was there a seventh round? Do we have seventh round anymore?
We didn't have a seventh. We have two sixth rounds.
There's two sixths. Okay. Just wanted to confirm that real quick. So round six, we had pick number 190. And so I'm going to go ahead and run a little side show for this sixth round pick, and then we're going to start talking about them in a little bit. So those who are watching on IMTN Worldwide Radio on YouTube, enjoy. Number 190 pick in the round six is Justin Schaefer from guess who? You know, we had to do this real quick, right? Let's see if I can do it. I wasn't ready. And I'm still not ready. I can't find it all of a sudden. Well, here it is. Live radio, folks. Sometimes you gotta mess up a little bit. I can't even find it now. Oh, there it is. Took till round six, but we did get a UGA player. Now, let me go ahead and say this real quick, just on the joking side. It's not about picking a UGA player. It's about the fact that over the last decade, you have a lot of UGA players that have been in the league for 10-plus years, being real productive for the teams that drafted them, and some of them have Super Bowl wins, and we're in the state of Georgia, and we don't pick any of them. And in this particular case, the whole UGA national championship team basically got drafted. You see what I'm saying? And for us to not pick any of them would just been beyond weird. It just would have been, you hate, Jordan's used the word, you hate UGA Bulldogs. What did they do to us so bad that you can't pick none of them? But at the end of the day, they do have to be able to perform. So our first one that was picked is Justin Schaefer on the offensive line side of the ball. You saw some of those highlights of him doing what? Creating a hole, creating space, making sure that that quarterback, if he has to run, he has a hole. The running back has to run. And or at the end of the day, you're trying to hold up to make sure that that quarterback has a passing lane, and that's what happens. So Schaefer showed some of that. Jordan, what are some of the specifics in regards to Mr. Justin Schaefer?
Yes, Mr. Justin Schaefer is a big fella. 6'4", 330 pounds, from Ellenwood, Georgia, in fact. Pro comparison was given with Kevin Dotson's strengths, a bulldozer in the run, bring off the snap, which is that initial hit. The first will move people down the line or at the second level, checks the size and physicality boxes to play guard at the NFL level. Weaknesses, lateral quickness leaves a lot to be desired, especially in pass protection. Off balance far too often, run blocking is far ahead of his pass protection. Second team All-SEC this past year and started all 15 games at left guard for the national champion Georgia Bulldogs. So that's some of the specifics on him. Of course, I love the pick just because he's a Bulldog, and I know that he has played against some of the toughest interior players that we have to offer. On the other hand, I kind of like Jamari Sawyer at this pick as well. I like Sawyer's position versatility. He's just as big and powerful at guard, but also can play tackle. And he shut down the number two overall pick in the NFL draft, Mr. Aiden Hutchinson. I mean, it looks like Hutchinson didn't even exist when we played Michigan in the college football playoffs. Now, the first game where he faced Will Anderson of Alabama, he was beaten a few times, but the second game we played Alabama, he held his own against Will Anderson, and Will Anderson, I think, is going to be the best edge rushing prospect next year when he comes out since Chase Young. In fact, I would rank him as a higher prospect than Chase Young.
Mm.
So, love both of the Georgia guys. I'm glad that we got one of them. Definitely can bring some power and nastiness to the run game. I hope that he's given an opportunity to step in, but I do have my doubts as far as the sixth round pick and how they're going to try to bring him along and develop.
Yeah, that's a good point in regards to him being in the sixth round, because there was one thing that you mentioned in the show last week in the preview show was when you're talking about linemen on the offensive side, once you go past round three, it gets kind of iffy at that point, you know, who could stick or not. I think, though, per his size and as far as the run game goes, I believe he can get him a spot. You know, and I don't, whether or not he gets a rotation sooner than later, it kind of depends on who the current people are. You know, and at a certain point, will the coaching staff say, if you're not going to do your job, son, we can't have you in here. We can't just have you out there just kind of floating around. It's only 17 games, right? It's only 17 games, right? So at a certain point, when will the plug be pulled on those who might be a little inconsequential and get him in there, and then will he be able to step up and fill in some holes? We have about 10 minutes left. So, John, what do you think about this first pick of the two of the guys from UGA that we got?
Like I said, this is a pivotal pick because a decision – the Falcons have made a decision about McGary on the end. They're not going to pick up his option, but McGary looks like Bane from Batman this year. Now, I don't know whether that man's popping steroids or PEDs or whatever, but he looks way bigger. He looks way bigger than what he was. And given what Arthur Smith said last year about the offensive line going through a baptism, especially in regards to who is that, Mayfield, as well as Mayfield, Hennessy, Lindstrom, and McGary. This is a crucial pick. This is a very crucial pick because protecting Mariota, protecting our new quarterback that we got, as well as opening holes for your running back to run through, This is way, way bigger than what everybody is putting the amount of emphasis that people are putting on it. This is very, very important.
I agree. It's right there to be had for him as a player, but it is going to spell out a lot of how this season is going to be dictated, really, when you think about it just in the long term. Because it is a position of need. Like you said, we didn't pick up that particular player's fifth year for a reason, obviously. And you said, like, baptism by fire. We have to almost hope that – what's the word I'm looking for here? The obstacles that occurred last year and them knowing that Matt's not there no more and not that they were the reason or anything, but with all the things going on, what if they had just protected a little bit better last year? What if they ran block a little bit better last year? Just a little bit, you know, what could have happened? You know, but again, woulda, coulda, shoulda, things have changed, obviously. But will they take any personal pride to not let that happen again? Because that's their job. Their job is to not let the quarterback get hit. That is your job by definition. And then be real mean and knock everybody out of the way so your running back can get 300 yards a game. That's your job as an offensive lineman. If you're not there for that, why are you there? You can't just be there to get lunch at the facility at Flowery Branch. That ain't cool, right? So at a certain point, we're going to find out this particular season where we stand and how many more possible mistakes do we have to replace, you know, long term. But hopefully this will be the change for the better, and it'll get the group, you know, where they need to be quick. And again, it's all on Arthur Smith at this point and the offensive line coaches and everybody to say, this is what's going to happen. We're not going to just say the cliches. We're actually going to perform on the field and do it now. Because that's where we need to be. And if we do, again, you don't know what we can do this season. I still think we can win two more games this season than we did a year ago. I think we can win at least 9, maybe 10 games somehow. I don't know how. The thing of it is, I feel that, guess what?
I don't think we're winning seven.
I just don't know. I just have a feeling that somehow or another they'll protect Mariota enough for him to be semi-okay. Because those first few years, he wasn't bad. It's just the last 4 years, he was inconsequential, right? But if we do enough around the rest of the pieces that we did have to fill in, I think we could be having a credible season. So,
my problem, sir, is as bad as that offensive line was last season, round six to address that pick. I just don't understand how you can wait that long to see in that situation, even if Schaefer does, but they somehow step in and win the job away from Mayfield, you still got Caleb McGarry starting that right tackle who you didn't even pick up an option up on. And so I'm hoping maybe these free agents find them, maybe Elijah Wilkerson, who has some starting experience, or Jermaine Ifedi, maybe they can push Caleb McGarry, because it is imperative that our offensive line be better than it was last season, for sure.
Yeah, it's life and death, really. So for our last few minutes, I do want to talk about our last pick of the draft, pick number 213. That's a lot of players being drafted into the NFL. It was our last pick in round six, and I'm going to go ahead and play a few little highlights of his exploits last year, also of the UGA Bulldogs, national champions. Let's go ahead and play right now.
So he wants to make a big impact tonight. They hand it off inside, and this is McIntosh.
Nelson comes back in now. Bennett throws, completes it to Fitzpatrick. Perfect throw. Nope, straight up the middle. First down, Zamir White.
Ball effectively because they kept mixing it up. Like that.
And it's the other tight end, Fitzpatrick.
He's going to Fitzpatrick.
Play action. A good one. He's back.
They make it to him. They fire it down the middle, and that's the catch.
So John Fitzpatrick is our 213th pick in the sixth round of the NFL draft of 2022. I'll just be brief real quick. He wants to block. He wants to hitch. He's looking for that, right? Also, he can actually run a route. Also, he has good hands. He can catch the ball. He's legit as far as that goes. So as far as there's an extra player being on the field, whether it be those two tight end sets and things of that nature, or if you need to get that extra yard, he's going to be definitely in there. If you need to be able to have that extra pass protection, guess what? He can stand some people up. He showed that there. On the running game, you're talking about opening up some holes as well. That's going to be something he's really good at. It looks like he's looking for the contact. It looks like he got good hands. He's not grabby, you know, things of that nature. He's a quality, just tight end as far as that goes. I think this is a really good pick here in the sixth round as far as Mr. John Fitzpatrick, who also, of course, plays for that national championship team that we all know and love. All right, that's the last time I play that tonight. Jordan, what you think about Mr. John Fitzpatrick?
Yes, Mr. Fitzpatrick is 6'7", 250 pounds, a big blocking tight end, as you said. Does have some catchability, caught 17 balls for 178 yards and a touchdown over the last two seasons combined. I like the pick because I think it's the Lee Smith replacement. We know Lee Smith was our number one blocking tight end this past season. And he did retire, and I think Fitzpatrick can provide value being able to step right in and fill that role. Strength, he has three-down ability, played in a run-heavy system, more of a run-down, as I would say, and worked tirelessly as a blocker, has reliable hands in traffic. Weaknesses is he's an average athlete at best, who isn't going to get open based on athletic ability very often or stretch the seam. Six receptions and 83 yards. His past season were both third most among Georgia tight ends. So I like the pick because it fits the immediate need and it fills a role, and I think it's a role he's capable, perfectly capable of playing from day one, even though he's a six-round draft.
Thanks, Jordan, for that intensive information there, Mr. John. John, what do you think about the pick? We got about 3 minutes left.
Man, how many tight ends do we have in camp?
Uh-oh. Several.
Man, look. Okay, well, man, I want to be a flowery branch when the tight ends go at it because I want to see the separation of the wheat from the chaff because just like all of the running backs we got, we have a dearth of tight ends in the house. So we got blocking tight ends. We got catching tight ends. I mean, we have a potpourri of tight ends. So I just want to see how this young man is going to fit in.
Seven on the roster right now.
Well, man.
We know our coach is the tight end guru. That's what he's known for. So.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, so I have a feeling we're going to see the best of the tight ends that will be starting and that will be on the roster because if we're going to maul people like the way it is looking like it's going to be set up to be, you're going to have to have some – you're going to have some killers, some down-by-law murderers knocking people out. And, see, now that's one thing that I want this team's persona to change. We got to be nasty. We've got to be vicious. We've got to be physical and not just that Dan Quinn fast and physical and definitely not that Mike Smith physical.
Really good point. Again, it has to be a changeover in the attitude of the team and, you know, the performance on the field. It has to match up against all the other teams in the NFL, especially the NFC, especially our division at this point. Our division is changing, obviously. We need to take advantage of that, too, a little bit, even though Brady did come back, but whatever. But I feel that, yeah, with the tight ends, we're gonna find out who's going to stay. Real quick, Jordan, go ahead.
Well, last quick note on Mr. Fitzpatrick. He played almost the entire season on an injured foot. So we know that the toughness is there for sure. Hopefully it's not a process going forward. They said they don't think it will be, but the toughness is certainly there. Also, I had one more note I wanted to get on about Nakobe Dean before we go. A guy who I wish the Falcons would have took. And this is from Michigan offensive lineman Andrew Stuber on facing Nakobe Dean and why the Wolves stopped calling a particular play. He said, Nakobe Dean is a great player. And he said it's unsolicited. He's one of the fastest linebackers I've ever seen on the field. Stuber said Dean's speed alone helped convince Wolverine's offensive coaches one of their staple plays was not going to work. And they did not run it again after seeing the Bulldog Jr. completely blow it up early in the game. We always love the little quick flick pass out. Just something to get the ball out. I remember we tried that one time, Stuber said. I was blocking the run when we threw it outside. I just remember looking back and seeing the backside linebacker, Dean, flying by and making the tackle 2 yards upfield. I think it's the fastest I've ever seen that play made. It was really impressive to see. So here you have a man who's basically taking a play out of the playbook for the opponent, and we know he doesn't run a fast 40-yard dash time. And so that's his instinct. That's intelligence, sir. And that's what's getting the job done. I don't know if I have time to read off the list of undrafted guys. Okay.
No.
Because we do have some undrafted free agents.
We'll see if we can pull that in the next show. So we only have a minute left. So, John, first of all, John, I want to thank you for joining in tonight. You weren't able to come on the previous draft show, the preview of the show. So thank you for chipping in for sure. Always good to talk some football. Thanks to everybody for listening in on the show tonight on IMTN Worldwide Radio on YouTube. Make sure you also subscribe to the page. Appreciate it. And those who are listening on Blog Talk Radio as well. Shout out to Reggie who was watching the show and commenting on the messenger. Appreciate that. Make sure you follow on Twitter, Intellect ATL, and Jordan23ATL. Make sure you follow on Instagram, IMTN Worldwide Radio as well. Don't forget, tomorrow night we have a special guest. Ms. Tanitra Batiste, a journalist out of Atlanta who does Atlanta sports. So can't wait for that. Jordan, you've got the last note of the show.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. I want to thank God for giving me this breath that I breathe. Talk about these Atlanta, East Georgia sports that I love.
Y'all take care till next time. Peace. Thank you.